thank you for inviting me to share in today's worship and in the concerns for the month, because it is a concern very close to my heart. My wife once said to me, as we were observing some people in our venue, this was a few years ago, who were entering the chastity, and she said, "You know, Nathan, I've never heard you say anything that you want to do anything other than preach. I've never heard you talk about another profession or whatever." I said, "Honey, if you ever hear me say I want to do anything except preach, you take me to Petersburg." And I meant that. So you invited me for something close to my heart. Let me say first, though, what a fellowship yours is, and what a joy is mine to participate in that fellowship. It is likened to that of love. Your spirit, your participation in the gospel, and I could call names, beginning with Dr. Jones here, but I won't because of the interest of time. But I hold you all very close to my heart. And the support you've given me just by your friendship, just by allowing me to be here and be a part of this wonderful fellowship, it encourages me. It strengthens me. It inspires me. Some of you have had me to come to your churches and preach. And I must confess, I was thinking about that the other day. Very few of you have I invited. One reason is, you know, all Sunday morning meals there. But then I've got a small congregation, and this, I really got to get out of this. And I was saying to one of the brothers the other day, he comes to my church, and I said, "Well, I've got such a small congregation, and they come out so slowly, you know, at night and so forth. And I really hate to," one brother brought about 50 people to my church. And had about, I said, "I really hate to invite you for, you know, a few people." He assured me that didn't matter. And I appreciate that, and I'm going to act on that. But thank you, and thank you for your fellowship, for your friendship, and for receiving me and really as one of you. That's what I am, of course, I'm
concerned. Amen. Amen.
I did not want to assign me the topic today of the craft and profession of preaching. I did not want to come and lecture to you on, you know, the craftsmanship of preaching. I really don't know how to do that. I don't know. I thought maybe the best approach would be to preach. If there be any craftsmanship, if it is not evident in there, nothing I can say really matters. If there be any integrity, any earnestness that is associated with professionalism, if it is not reflected, you know, in the sermon, nothing I could say pretty much really matters. So I do a dangerous thing. I cast this thing on what I might or might not do. So you pray with me.
Amen.
I did bring, after the sermon, and I know the time is moving, I did bring a couple of sheets that I wanted to share with you just real briefly, the process by which whatever I do, you know, I do. Let me now call your attention to a passage from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 15, beginning at the 10th verse. "Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me, a man of strife and contention to the whole land. I have not lent, I have not borrowed, yet all of them curse me. So let it be, O Lord, if I have not entreated thee for their good, if I have not pleaded with thee on behalf of the enemy of thine, of trouble and in the time of distress. O Lord, thou knowest, remember and visit me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In thy forbearance, take me not away. Know that for thy sake I bear reproach. Thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became to me a joy and a delight in my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I do not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because thy hand was upon me, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wounds incurable, refusing to be healed? Will thou be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious, and not what is worthless, you shall be my mouth. Thus the reading. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee and profitable unto us as we participate in the fellowship of God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you from the subject, a prescription for self-pity. And the text is Jeremiah 15:19-21. Therefore says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be at my mouth. Then they shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the wicked. A prescription for self-pity. Things had gone wrong for Jeremiah, as it often does for prophets. Martin Luther King is a witness to that. The people he preached to refused to listen to him. The nation he loved with the deepest loyalty branded him a traitor. The authorities he prayed for jailed him. Friends betrayed his confidence. Neighbors even plotted his death. So, despondent, pain, hurt, Jeremiah became afflicted with a severe case of self-pity. And if you listen, one can hear the overtones of that self-pity in some of his words. Listen. What sadness is mine, my mother? Oh, that I had died at birth. Listen again. Cursed be the day of my birth. Let no man bless it. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father who waited. A man child is born to you, and my father was glad. May a curse be on him for his message. May God overthrow him as the cities destroyed. May he be as Sodom and Gomorrah. May he hear a cry in the morning, a shriek at noonday, because he did not slay me then, so that the womb were my grave. Yea, the womb of the earth be my grave, the greatest of wounds. But instead, I live on to see sorrow and labor and pain. And my days are consumed with disgrace, and shame covers me. And then again, my sorrow forever endureth, my wound will not be healed. Thou, O Lord, thou hast failed me. I thought I might drink of thee as men drink of the water of a cool, pleasant stream. But lo, as in a drought of high summer, that stream has gone dry. You see him sitting, hugging himself, and we have to do that sometimes. Yeah. Rocking himself in self-pity. Now, if the Lord were to get any preaching out of Jeremiah, if he was to get any witness to what God was about in that time and place out of Jeremiah, a prescription for that severe case of self-pity was needed. And the text is this prescription the Lord wrote in his divine pharmaceutical word for a prophet afflicted with too much self-pity. Jeremiah, he had Jeremiah stop by there one day and pick up that prescription. Essentially, the prescription is prescribed one action Jeremiah is to take in his self-pity. Return. That's the one action. If you return. Now, what the Lord said was that Jeremiah needed to take a different attitude, a different outlook. He needs to make a U-turn. First, in his talk, utter what is precious and not what is worthless.
All right.
Jeremiah had reached the point where most of what came out of his mouth were complaints. This preacher had reached the point, pressured by people who misunderstood him, pressured by those who didn't appreciate his message, pressured by authorities who were against him and churchmen who were against him. He had reached the point where what came out of his mouth were complaints and grumbling. So he's told by God, Jeremiah, stop complaining. Now, let me turn from Jeremiah. We preachers, we deacons, officers in the church, members of the church, we often get wrapped up in self-pity and are likely to complain too much when that happens. There are some folk who complain all the time. There are even some of us who grumble too much. And this is not good, because constant complaining interferes with what God can do in us.
Amen.
Constant complaining interferes with what God can do through us. It has negative effects upon our Christian witness. For an instance, I don't care if we preach or deacon or whatever. You cannot make a convincing testimony to God's goodness if you're always complaining.
Yes,
if you're always saying things that deny he's good to you.
All right.
Utter what is precious.
Yes.
And not what is worthless.
Yes.
When our words of complaint constantly raise a flag of surrender.
Yes.
There's no way our life can be a testimony to the victory that God gives.
Thank you.
The victory that overcomes the world.
Thank you.
Utter what is precious.
Yes.
And not what is worth.
Yes.
Even in our work in the pulpit.
Yes.
It cannot be very effective when we perform it in an attitude of complaint and grumbling.
Yes.
You know how that works. As preachers, we accept a call somewhere and then complain all the time about the deacon. Complain about the deacon.
Yeah.
Complaining the place that the church is too small.
Yeah.
Or it's too large and too many responsibilities.
Yeah.
Or the situation in which we minister is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we can complain about the people and the conditions all the time. And I heard, I was on a conference not long ago among Presbyterians. And, you know, these were black Presbyterians. And so many were complaining about, you know, their church. It was too small, you know, folk wasn't coming, or this and that, the elders were this and that. Sometimes members give a little work for the program of the church, but grumble a lot. Complain about how much effort it takes, how much time and energy we have to use. There are Christian people who will put up with a few inconveniences and hardships in their lives and in the work God gives them to do, but they gripe all the time.
Yeah.
Complain about it. Either do it as unto the Lord or, you know, in hush, I just don't do it. Other part is precious. How much faith can God inspire through Christians or preachers who whine so much in self-pity? And he certainly cannot pull down the stronghold of Satan when our strength has been weakened by self-pity.
All right.
And maybe this is one reason Jesus tells his service to rejoice.
Yeah.
If people mistreat you for my sake.
Yeah.
If circumstances persecute you for my sake.
Yeah.
If your work for me is heavy and is demanding, rejoice.
Rejoice.
If responsibility and the requirements of faith are painful to you, do not go around complaining all the time and grumbling and griping. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad.
Amen. Thank you.
This is the attitude Christ bids preachers take. This is the attitude Christ bids us adopt. And what an excellent example Peter and John give at that point. You remember that day they were on their way to church and there was a lame man at the gate, beautiful?
Yes.
And they couldn't pass him by without tending to his needs.
All right.
They couldn't pass him by without helping him get up and walk.
Yes.
And you remember the authorities jailed him
for
attending to that sick man.
Mm-hmm.
And if jailing was not humiliating enough, the authorities then abused them and beat them before letting them out.
Yes.
But look how Peter and John behaved themselves when they were free. They didn't need that jail complaining. They didn't need that jail, leave that jail grumbling and mourning and hugging themselves in self-pity.
No.
They didn't leave that jail complaining about harsh treatment and complaining in bitterness.
No, sir.
No, sir. Listen to the book of Acts. Then they left the council rejoicing. Listen, rejoicing that they were kind of worthy to suffer for the name.
Yes, that's all right.
Can't you see them rejoicing?
Yes, sir. Yes,
can't you see the oil of gladness on their face?
Yes.
No tears, no crumbling. So during those times, things go badly, and self-pity has us feeling dejected, and it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My little small church, you know, and
yeah.
I wish it was larger.
Yeah.
I wish the fruits of my ministry was larger.
Right.
But there are times when I, you know, kind of hug myself. All of us have these reasons. The Lord would have us, though, take this medicine he prescribed for Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
He prescribed it for my mouth, too.
Mm-hmm.
To sift out what worthless thoughts and focus on what is positive.
Mm-hmm.
To sift out worthless thoughts and focus on what is of faith.
Yeah.
Other what is precious and not what is worthless. Other what is of faith and not what is of self-pity. And what is precious? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. What shall I be afraid of? That's what's precious. What is precious? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's what is precious. Give me courage that he shall strengthen your heart. And all your hope that is in you. That's what is precious. With the Lord on my side. I shall not fear what men can do to me. The Lord is on my side to help. And I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. That's what is precious. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine.
Yet
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God my salvation. That's what is precious.
All right.
I am with you even to the end of the world. That's what is precious. So that's the prescription God gives me sometime. And you, Nathan, you take that prescription. Utter what is precious. Speak the right thing. Then second, in this divine prescription for self-pity, Jeremiah is directed to turn not only with his mouth, but with his ears and his eyes also. Listen to the text. Jeremiah, they shall turn to you, but you shall not turn to them. That is, they shall turn to you for a pattern of behavior, but you shall not turn to them. In other words, God tells Jeremiah, you stop being influenced. They're talking about you. Yes, they've misunderstood. Yes, they think you're a traitor.
Yes.
Yes, they think you're against them because you pronounced the judgment that I told you pronounce.
Yeah,
I know that's true.
Yeah.
I know that's true. Mm-hmm. But you stop being influenced by what you hear them say.
Yeah.
Yes, they threaten you.
Mm-hmm.
But you stop being influenced by their threats.
Yeah.
That's good. Medicine for Jeremiah.
Yes,
that's good medicine for Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
That's good medicine for Jeremiah.
Yes.
It's good medicine for you.
Yes.
Whenever you get to feeling too sorry for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you know we do that and have
sure.
it. We're human.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes, be extremely cautious.
Yes.
Acute self-pity weakens the soul's immune system.
Yeah.
So that when folks' negative opinions storm the beachhead of the territory of your life, you ain't got no defense against that invasion. When that negative comment invades the landscape of your hopes and your ministry, you won't have any defense. Your immune system is broken down, and you can't fight it off.
Well,
this is what was happening to Jeremiah.
Well,
he heard people call him a traitor, and he almost forgot that he was a loyal patriot. He saw so many friends and neighbors against him. He saw so many leaders against him that he almost forgot who was on his side.
Yeah.
He almost forgot that God was on his side.
Yeah.
Listening to other folks.
Yeah.
Being influenced by other folks' talk.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks.
Mm-hmm.
People whispered at him.
Mm-hmm.
Made fun of his message.
Mm-hmm.
And that affected him. One day he was so hooked and terribly so.
Yeah.
Instead of throwing up his hand, I will not make mention of him anymore.
Yeah.
We're not speaking his name anymore.
Yeah.
He's a preacher.
But his
he's
word.
A prophet.
Yeah.
Almost abandoned his calling because he paid too much attention to what other folks say.
Yeah.
He paid too much attention to the talk from the grapevine.
Yeah.
He paid too much attention to folks and not enough attention to his God. You shall not turn to them for your estimate of yourself. You shall not turn to them for your evaluation. Your ministry.
No.
You shall not turn to them, Jeremiah. And self-pity can make you do that, can't you? In the face of five up relationships with preachers and officers and friends and neighbors, we can allow somebody else's unkindness and hostility to affect us in the wrong way.
Yeah.
The Lord had to tell Jeremiah, be not afraid of them. I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
I don't care what they say, for I am with you to deliver you.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to tell Ezekiel, to son of man, be not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
No briars and thorns are with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have put scorpions.
Yeah.
Be not afraid of their words.
Mm-hmm.
Not be dismayed at their looks.
No. Yeah.
They shall turn to you.
Yes. Yeah.
They shall turn to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They shall turn to you and not you to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I get wrapped up in self-pity about what people say, you know, I'm something to quit my soul pity.
Yeah.
And I had a preacher not long ago tell me, you know, that you ain't got no ambition. That's right. Staying over there at the Woodville Presbyterian Church all these years, you ain't got no ambition. I'd have been a fool to listen to that. God put me there. However small or large it is, God put me there.
Yeah.
I'll be there till he tells me to leave.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's all right. I'd have listened. I'd have left Joppa. I'd have left and gone to Joppa too soon. Oh, you leave Joppa. You better be sure that God is there to go.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, John.
I'm coming to leave my pastorate and brethren.
Yes,
men and women have left their pastor and listened to other folks.
Yeah.
Listen to other pastors. I wouldn't put up with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have a church. I wouldn't put up with that.
That's all right.
I'm sorry. to quit singing in the choir. Listen to what other folks say.
Yeah.
I'm starting to leave my post because somebody else leaves their post.
Yeah.
How many people in the church become irresponsible? And I've got some. Become irresponsible in their religious obligations because they are influenced by somebody else who's irresponsible. Somebody else who isn't doing it. And have you had folks say, I got word that folks say, oh, so-and-so ain't doing that, ain't doing nothing. Then why should I? Because you promised God you'd do it. That's why. God told you to preach. That's why. Irresponsible for what anybody else does or does not do. You shall not turn to their words. You shall not turn to their opinion. You shall not turn to their evaluation for your own estimate of yourself as a prophet of God, as a priest, as a servant of God, as a member of the church. Some folks will let other folks absent from duty of worship. Stop them from worship. Jeremiah. You should not turn to them for a pattern of behavior.
No,
sir, not them.
Not them.
Of all people, not them.
Yes.
If I get the feeling too sorry for myself, I'm liable to allow somebody else's lack of faith to stop me from believing in God. Or if I pay too much attention to their doubts, I'm coming to stop trusting God. Listening to somebody else. I ain't gonna stop, but I'm gonna trust in the Lord. I'm gonna trust in the Lord.
Before
I die. With two members on one. With two on 100. I'm gonna trust in the Lord. Whatever he puts. To do whatever he tells me to do. They shall not turn to you. Incidentally. That brother who told me that I didn't have no ambition also told me that, you know, God called him to a city church. He left a small church, went to a city church and a big church too. And I was, you know, I really wish I had what he needed. Before a year was over, he was actually in the meeting. Before a year was over, and within 18 months, he had to leave. And I took something much smaller.
All right.
And did you know that within a year he had to leave that?
That's right.
You shall not turn to them. That's dangerous. Dangerous ground. You on shaky ground. If you let other folks' opinions and words direct the direction of your ministry. Now, we may be preachers. We are saints of God, but we are still human. You and I will surely know, no matter how wonderful our situation is, we will surely know those times of heavy hearts and bruised feelings. We will surely know those times in our ministry of betrayed confidence and broken, wounded spirit. And we'll know the self-pity that goes with it. Sometimes we'll have to hide away. You know, what's that? Yesterday, all my troubles were so far away. Now I need somewhere to hide away. We'll have to hide away sometimes. Hug ourselves. Rock ourselves and sing to ourselves. That's all right. Just don't you listen to other folks. You listen to your own song. Don't you listen to other folks. God's prescription for self-pity reads, a tablespoon full of mouth medicine, so you can return to speaking precious things, and two tablespoons of eye and ear medicine as a vaccine against ugly and discouraging things people may say and do. The last observation I wish to make is that this prescription is effective. And I commend you to take it. I commend it to myself. It's effective.
For the law promises that those who will take it will be made well from the effects of sin.
Yes.
That those who take it will be made whole from the effects of self-pity.
Yes.
Listen to the text. Thus saith the Lord, if you return, I will restore you.
Yes.
You see, his medicine restores. As we utter what is precious and not what is worthless.
Yes.
His medicine restores.
Well.
As we turn our eyes upon Jesus Christ. His medicine restores.
Yes.
But Christ, the ingredient in him, is what gives that medicine healing power.
Mm-hmm.
The ingredient in Jesus is what makes that medicine effective. Mm-hmm. For he is the word.
Yeah.
He is the balm in Gilead that heals the self-pity of the downcast preacher.
Yes.
He is the balm in Gilead. And as we turn our ears in God's direction, to listen to what, to his words rather than to men, God restores us.
Yes,
he gives us an effective injection against self-pity.
Yes,
his medicine clears our eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
It makes faith vision equal to life darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in the shadow of bad times, when the outlook is the measure of your frailty.
Yes, sir.
And not only does God's prescription restore you, and I'm closing now, it puts you on your feet. It sends you back in the Lord's vineyard again.
Yes.
Listen for a last time. Thus saith the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and then listen, and you shall stand before me.
Well.
You and I have God's promise.
Yeah.
That when we stop complaining as Christians, that if we stop complaining as churchmen or preachers, where we may have been hiding in some corner, weak and fret, where we may have been idle, like Elijah in the cave, Jesus comes and gets us.
Yeah.
Let us stand before him again, like he did old Peter on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
He was hiding away, you know, all ashamed and self-pity. Then go tell Peter to.
Yeah.
Let him preach for him again.
Yeah.
Jesus enables us to stand at our post of duty, no matter who else goes EWOL.
Yeah.
The Lord lets me stand at my place of service, no matter who else take their hands off the plow.
Yeah.
And the good thing about being restored is that now we can stand not complaining a lot. Not complaining that our work is too hard. Not complaining that our places are too small. Not complaining that the fruits are too meager. But we can stand asking God, Lord, what else would you have me to do? With this prescription in our system, we can stand not grumbling and complaining of wounded spirits, but rejoicing.
Yes,
Jesus.
Yes.
Counts us worthy to bear our wounds in his name.
Yes.
For his sake.
Yes.
When it's yours to know acute self-pity, let each of us take this divine prescription. And God will make you and me more than conquerors. Through him who loves
us. Yes.
He'll make us more than conquerors of folks' meanness and folks' misunderstanding and folks' treachery. And I thank God for this divine drugstore.
Thank you.
I'm going there where it's located somewhere on Jeremiah Avenue.
Yeah.
I thank God that it's there. I thank God for the great physician who is there. Jesus, who wrote that prescription in the first place. As often as I have to plug myself in self-pity, I'm going to go ask for a dose. As often as I have to hide away feeling sorry for myself, I'm going to go and ask for a new prescription. Thank God for it. May we take this prescription.
Thank God.
And victory will be ours to know. May we take this for self-pity, this prescription, and strength will be ours to use. When we take this prescription, acceptable service will be ours to give. And a good witness will be ours to bear. Thank God.
Thank God.
For this prescription for self-pity. I don't feel sorry for myself. I don't feel sorry for where I am. Of what God has given me.
Thank God.
May he bless us.
Yes.
3:6:12.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. We stand together and sing 364.